All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk. This podcast is made possible by NoCD. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention, or ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists, and they accept most major insurance plans. To find out more about NoCD, visit nocd.com. That's nocd.com to book a free 15-minute call. For people in the state of Kentucky, you can go to kentuckyocd.com. That's kentuckyocd.com and book a session with me. I mean, I think that there's always some evidence that supports or seems to support the veracity of the intrusive thought, the claim of the obsession. There's always some reason to experience or perceive the intrusive thought as reality. And I think that when you take these elements, the intrusive thought plus some level of evidence plus the possibility of this feared outcome, what you end up with is, frankly, it's a moment of crisis for many OCDers. They're in this perpetual place of desperately and urgently trying to stop or prevent or disprove the intrusive thought or the evidence. They're trying to manage the anxiety somehow, some way, trying to wake up from this dream, this fucking nightmare of present perceptual reality. I think you see this in relationship OCD, for example. The common thoughts are like, what if I'm not attracted to my partner? Or what if my partner isn't attracted to me? It might be, what if my partner is cheating on me? Or what if I'm going to cheat on my partner? Or it might be intrusive images. You might see an intrusive image of your partner cheating, or you might see an image of yourself cheating. And of course, this image in some way becomes evidence to you that, well, you must be unhappy in some way, or your partner must be unhappy in some way. Otherwise, why would you be having these intrusive thoughts? What could they possibly mean if they don't mean that? And here you're stumbling upon the concept of evidence, right? The evidence might be some observable change in behavior. Maybe it's romantic behavior or attentional behavior. Maybe it's change in routine or some apparent emotional change. Or maybe, like I say, it's just the mere presence of the intrusive thoughts themselves that serve as the evidence. But the point is, the evidence makes the thought or the perception feel real and therefore produces significant anxiety. Or maybe take the example of sexually taboo fears. Again, the intrusive thoughts here are often images or motion pictures. Word thoughts might be, what if I become attracted to or get aroused by a child or my family member or maybe a pet? In these instances, the evidence might be something like a physical feeling of sexual arousal. And it might be the timing of that physical feeling or the timing of the experience of the intrusive thought. Maybe you're changing a diaper or giving a bath or whatever it is. Or again, the mere presence of the intrusive images, the motion pictures themselves, might be some level of evidence. And here's where you get into the metacognitions. This must mean that. Why else would I be having this intrusive thought if I weren't a pedophile or if I weren't attracted to my pet? Maybe you say, I don't know that I'm a pedophile, but the evidence seems to make a compelling case, and therefore the thought or perception feels as real as reality itself at any other point. Or maybe you take individual harm OCD cases or contamination OCD cases or specific phobia cases or real event OCD cases. Again, there's always some evidence that supports or seems to support the veracity of the conclusion, the claim of the intrusive thought. Now, it's true that the evidence doesn't prove the thought is an accurate perception of reality. But in the vast majority of cases, I imagine yours included, the anxiety-producing thoughts produce anxiety because they represent feared outcomes that could happen. And to many OCDers, the presence of the evidence demonstrates that the feared outcome is happening, or at the very least, that it could be happening. And this is the moment of crisis in which many OCDers live in perpetuity. Again, as a result of the thought and the evidence and the possibility, coupled with intense anxiety, the urge, the need to do something to prevent it, to stop it from happening, feels overwhelmingly urgent. All hands on deck. All resources are allocated to prevent this feared outcome. And here it's like, can we disprove the evidence? Can we find a way to dismantle it? But even if we do, the point remains that we're talking about feared outcomes that are possible. Of course, just because they could happen doesn't mean they will happen. Just because there's some evidence that seems to support the intrusive thought conclusion doesn't mean definitively that that's what you're facing now. The point is, the possibility remains. The uncertainty is there. And I don't see any meaningful way to remove it. As I often say, you can shift it around from here to there, but you can't eliminate it. Uncertainty is a fact of life. To my mind, a much more reasonable, logical response to the experience of an intrusive thought than trying to disprove it. It's tolerating it. It's not just tolerating the uncertainty, it's tolerating the experience of the intrusive thought. Yeah, along with the evidence. Yeah, along with the possibility. The question I think that emerges is, are you in real danger? Are you in objective danger? And I think it's true that one of the ways to measure this is by asking a respected other. And I don't mean asking over and over and over. When I was first getting started in OCD work and I was under supervision, I would watch my supervisor do clinical work. And one of the questions that would often be posed to her was, what if you're wrong? What if I am X? Or what if Y is happening and this isn't OCD? And her response would be, okay, I'm going to tell you this one time. You're not X, or Y isn't happening. Whatever it is. I'm going to tell you this one time, that's not happening, you have OCD, but from here on out, we're not going to do this. I'm not going to reassure you because that's compulsive, and I didn't come to work today to have a conversation with your OCD. So I think that there is some value in an objective second set of eyes. But remember, OCD is called the doubting disease for a reason. So once you receive that reassurance, let's call it good. It's at that point, you need to exercise discipline. Let's determine that you're not in objective danger, that there is a real degree of uncertainty here, and in all likelihood, this is your OCD talking. So again, it's about tolerating the presence of the intrusive thought, tolerating the anxiety that it causes. And I'm perfectly aware that this is hard. I'm not suggesting otherwise. It's not easy. This is hard work. This is scary work. But the idea remains that it's you against your doubt. And yeah, the doubt is armed with some evidence, and the doubt is causing some anxiety, and things are uncertain. But imagine, just imagine, if for an evening, the relationship OCDer just tolerated the intrusive thoughts and tolerated the uncertainty. I literally mean pretended that the intrusive thoughts weren't happening. Pretended that the uncertainty, that the very possibility of the feared outcome didn't bother him. Imagine if the POCDer held a baby for an hour or changed several diapers over and over and just ignored the intrusive thoughts. If this went on for an hour or even two, and imagine if you had the chance to ask her, are your thoughts any different? Have you noticed any changes in terms of your thought frequency or the anxiety level that you're experiencing? Imagine if the contamination OCDer just kept touching shit and tolerated the possibility that he's dirty and ignored the intrusive thoughts, but just kept pushing along with life. How long do you think it would be before the thoughts would start to fade to the background? How long would it be before the anxiety began to fall away? I'm not talking about no thoughts and no anxiety. I'm asking you, how long do you think it would be before things started to change? I'm asking you seriously, how long do you think it would be for you if you were to ignore, if you were to tolerate, if you were to act as if the thoughts weren't happening? And yeah, I fucking mean you weren't doing compulsions. You weren't responding in anxious ways. You were ignoring the thoughts. And imagine if you did that not just today, but tomorrow too. And then the next day and the next day, and you began to string together these little moments of victory. Not one, but two, not two, but three and four, and then five and six, and not 1 week, but two. And almost every day you're having these moments of breakthrough where you're ignoring and you're tolerating, you're pretending that the thoughts aren't happening, and you're finding slowly but surely that the thoughts get a little quieter and that the anxiety starts to fall away. How many weeks before you zoom out and you start to see on a grander scale, your OCD is changing? How long? How long? Like I say, man, this is where you've got to work at it. You've got to dig in your heels and determine that you're going to do something different. The same old thing isn't going to yield different results for you. You're going to have to give it a real shot, tolerating, ignoring, pretending that the intrusive thoughts aren't happening, working hard to stop your responses. How long will it be before things start to change? Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.